This morning, I want to keep unpacking what it is to seek first the kingdom of God, since that is the thing that Jesus told us to seek first, was the kingdom of God. And we see here this interchange between Mary and Martha and Jesus. Actually, Mary and Martha don't talk. Did you catch that? Yeah. Martha goes to Jesus and says, "Damn, do you care that she's leaving me to do this all by myself? Would you please tell her to help me?" All that. And of course, Jesus gave that very direct answer. So there's only need of one thing. And Mary got it. So I want to unpack that with us today and see what that's about. And it reminded me of something that we saw a few weeks back when a few of us were on the Navajo Reservation. And Pete and Bobby, you might remember this. One morning, we went with one of the priests of that diocese to the church she was leading, and she showed us all around the church, very interesting stuff. And she says, "Well, you know, I also have a sheep farm with a herd of sheep. Would you like to see that?" "Yes, we would," we said. So off we go into who knows where in the desert, and we followed her and saw the place, which was very stark, very remote. I don't know what the sheep ate, but I couldn't see what it was. But nonetheless, they were a good healthy flock. And after a few minutes when we got there, we see this small herd of sheep coming over a hill towards us. And someone who was working for this priest, by the way, her name is Cornelia Eaton, and she's got quite a lot of responsibility in that diocese, and also as a sheep herder. So the sheep come over the hill, and behind the sheep is somebody that works for her that is herding the sheep that day. And so behind the sheep, he's telling them where to go, and they go. Now, all that's not all that interesting, except when you compare it to the way it happened in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, the shepherd was in front of the flock. And from the front of the flock, the sheep would follow. And what they would follow was the shepherd's voice. When they heard the voice of their shepherd, they followed along. And that would happen on occasions where several flocks might be mixed because of the need for bigger pasture or whatever the need might have been. And each shepherd would then call their sheep. And so one shepherd would be there near the gate, start calling the sheep, and that flock would follow that shepherd. And then each flock, it happened that same way. There's one thing that Jesus says is necessary. Do you know what it is? Rick, hear my voice, listening to his voice. That's the one thing necessary. Rick, go to the head of the class. That is the one thing necessary, listening to the voice of Jesus. That's the definition of a Christian life, is listening to the voice of Jesus, responding to that voice. And that's what we see played out in the incident today with Mary and Martha in the gospel. So we could take a closer look at it. Here we see Jesus and the others are on their way to Jerusalem, and they stop at Mary and Martha's house. Martha invites them in for some refreshment, some hospitality. Lazarus does not seem to be there that day. He's probably already in Jerusalem. I believe this time of the year they're going for the Feast of Booths, one of the three major festivals in Jerusalem. So Lazarus is already there, and Jesus and those following him stop at Mary and Martha's house. And they're in charge of receiving Jesus and the others. So Martha takes charge and is getting things organized and set up and flowing as they should, and everything in its right place. And everybody knows where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do and what's happening next. And all this Martha is taking charge of. And she's very busy with all that work. And Luke makes a point to say that she's distracted. That's in the gospel for eternity about Martha. She was distracted. And she's distracted. What do you think she's distracted from? That's distracted from Jesus. That exactly. Join Rick at the head of the class, okay? Very good. Excellent. She's distracted from Jesus by doing all these things. She knows that Jesus is right there, but was focused on how everything else was going and had no focus of any kind on Jesus. Now, I want to give you some relief if you're thinking, well, if I do all kinds of things to make sure everything goes well, am I doing the wrong thing? No, you're not doing the wrong thing. It's when you're focused only on that and not as well on the presence of Jesus. Jesus is saying it's the focus on me which is necessary. The other things actually come and go. But his presence is always there. Now, Mary had probably been helping Martha out in the beginning, but wanted to take some time just listening to Jesus. So when Jesus gets settled, then she goes and sits with Jesus. Now that's one of the key descriptions of Mary. It's a description of a disciple. A disciple who is someone who sits at the Master's feet. Someone who's listening to what the Master has to say. That's a disciple. So when the Gospel says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet, that is identifying her as one of the disciples of Christ right there at that time. Now, obviously, she had the main attribute of a disciple, which is to listen to Jesus. And that's the one thing necessary. Now, Jesus' view of Mary and Martha is interesting to look at because there's a lot of overlap. You know, Martha kind of gets a bad reputation sometimes that she doesn't deserve. And we want to take her out of that this morning. What happens here is that Jesus loves both of them. And when Martha came up and complained that Mary wasn't doing anything, Jesus spoke to Martha very gently, very softly. You know, Martha, Martha. And just explained, this is what's going on. You're distracted. And Mary has the one thing needed. He pointed out about the choice that Mary had made, about taking time to listen to Jesus, how she didn't let other things distract her from that, but had times in her life when she specifically and only focused on Jesus, like a laser focus on the presence of Jesus. And that's the basic discipline of discipleship. Now, what I'd like to do now is point out some ways that we can listen to Jesus, because it's not difficult. You don't need a seminary degree. You don't need a lot of spiritual practice, but it's like training. It's like daily training that you just keep up. It's a rhythm of daily life that you have. So, for example, when things are frustrating, did anybody have anything frustrating happen this week? Okay, so this is for you. You know, it's tempting to pray when things are frustrating. It's tempting to pray, what should I do? What should I do about this? What should I do now? And there's nothing wrong with praying that. Or you can even go further and say, now, how can this be fixed? How can this be sorted out so that it gets to where it needs to be? Nothing wrong with praying that. However, that could be more listening to our frustration than listening to the voice of the Lord. And I would suggest something to add to that. I don't think you have to stop praying that way. You know, what do I do now? Look at this. Jesus, do you see this? What's going on? I mean, the disciples did that. Do you remember when Jesus was asleep in the boat and there's this big storm going on? And the disciples go down and say, Jesus, what are you doing? Don't you see this? I would suggest when things are really frustrating, and you've told Jesus, well, this is frustrating. What are you doing? Come on now. And then go into the next step, which is this. What do you want to tell me? You've already probably told Jesus what you want to tell him. So it's a conversation. Lord Jesus, what do you want to tell me? And then you can go a step further. What do you want to tell me about this situation? Because I've already told you what I think about this situation. What do you want to tell me about it? And then a third step, which is really probably the reason that all this is going on, if you need a reason for it all to be going on. Jesus, what do you want to tell me about me in this situation? What do you want to tell me about me in this situation? Because Jesus is working in our lives all the time for our transformation, that we become like him. And when you have this opportunity to say, Jesus, what do you want to tell me about me in this situation? Most of the time, and I'm just doing that to be kind of not black and white, but I can't think of a time when this doesn't happen. Most of the time, it will not be negative. It will not be corrective. It will not be to straighten you out. It will not be tell you you're thinking wrong. It will be to say, I want to add this to your life, whatever it is. And it might not even be connected to the specifically to the situation that's frustrating, but something about your heart, something about your soul, something about healing that you might be looking for, something about your life that Jesus begins speaking into you and it's transforming you. What happens with the situation is your level of frustration may go down, even though the situation doesn't change. But you may be able to walk through it because you've heard the voice of Jesus. And especially if he says, follow me. And you're walking with Jesus in the direction through that situation. God bless you, Chris. All right. How about another situation? Should we go into that? Would that be helpful? I was hoping for a little more enthusiasm. Yes, please, tell us more. But I'll just take what I got there. Okay. When you have been through a particularly rough or depressing period of time, and a lot of times when people have been through a very tough situation, or an ongoing period where it's very tough in their lives and things just aren't going well, and a lot of sadness or even depression starts coming in. It's tempting to, well, first of all, not pray when that's going on. It's also tempting to pray brief, memorized prayers, whatever they may be. Like, help me, something like that, or our Father who art in heaven, whatever, or to complain, to actually be specific, and say, what else could I have done? Why is this going on? Why me? Things like that, and it is absolutely, completely legitimate to pray that way with Jesus, to say, what's going on? And I would encourage you, as part of listening to Jesus, to take that complaint and make it a lament. You know, the Psalms are filled with lament. And in just telling God everything, this is what's going on. This is how I feel about it. This is what's in my heart. Where are you? What's going on? You can even say, why? Whatever. Just let it all come to God. He can take it. You can unload on God, and God's not going to get back at you. And then take up the discipline of praising Jesus for who he is. You might not get the answer that you want right away, but who he is the Lord of all, the one who will never leave you or forsake you. And then thank him for being with you right there in the middle of it. And listen, you might even bring that old question back in. Okay, what do you want to tell me about me as my heart is breaking? Or what do you want to tell me about this situation? And let it come. Let it, however it comes. You know, and you know, keep in mind, each of us hears the voice of God differently. Some of us hear it in sentences. Some of us hear it in pictures. Some of us get impressions. Some of us get dreams. Some of us get memories. Some of us just get partial thoughts. Some of us hear it when somebody else says something. There's all kinds of ways that God's voice will come to you, and the answer that you're looking for, he brings to you in that manner, a manner that fits your personality. I mean, you don't have to hear God the way I hear God. Please hear God the way you hear God, because that's the way you will hear God. If it's a big, colorful picture, take that. I mean, that's not weird. That's God. And take it. And ask God to unpack it. Help me know what you're saying. What do you want me to know about me? Things like that. And what will you be doing? You'll be taking up the one thing needful, listening to Jesus. I want to encourage you to do this in a daily rhythm as well. You know, set a time to pray and try to keep it. And if circumstances in your life change, set a new time to pray and try to keep that. Set a time and method of looking at the Bible and keep it. Just do it and keep it. And we've mentioned this before, but don't most of you eat a snack at the same time of the day every day? Don't you do that? And don't lie in church now. Or there's something that you do at the same time of the day almost every day. Well, I want to suggest that you listen to Jesus at the same time of the day, every day. And look at the scriptures at the same time of the day, every day. And keep it up as training to hear the voice of God. That's how you seek first the kingdom of God, by listening to Jesus. Now, the question I want to leave you with is this. How does Jesus want you to listen to him in your life? Today, right now, this morning, while you're here in worship at St. Francis, when you go home, just anytime, all the time, every time, how does Jesus want you to listen and catch his voice? That's how he will build this church. That's how he will form you to seek first the kingdom of God. That's how you and I will find what steps to take next together. That's how you go from day to day as a Christian. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you're doing among us. We thank you for who you are to us. And we ask this morning that we would hear your voice, that you would speak and we would hear, that you would open up everything within us to receive what you are saying to us, and that we would be able to walk in that all the days of our lives. Amen.